G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing
Ewan Grant for breakfast on Triple M.
I must admit, I thought it was very cold riding into work this morning. I just didn't realise how cold it was until about 5 minutes ago when I checked the weather. Today, we're going to talk more about NAIDOC Week because it continues. There is a fantastic visual exhibition taking place at the main corner at the moment. It is just amazing. People are raving about it on social media. If you haven't checked it out as yet, make sure you do so.
Ewan Grant
for breakfast.
A big good morning to you wherever you are in the Limestone Coast. Malcolm Turnbull is making news today. He's released a conversation that he had with the Australian rescuers from the Thailand cave during the course of the week. The Cave Divers Association from here in the Limestone Coast shared that video last night. That's where I found it, and I put it up on the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page as well. We'll hear a little bit about it after 7 this morning, but if you'd like to check out the video, it is online. Now, other news. Time for us to catch up with Katja to find out what's making news here in the Limestone Coast. Good morning.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, Limestone Coast Police have reported a Millicent man for a number of offences. Locals working on the minimum wage or award will see a welcome boost to their pay packet as a wage increase goes into effect. Mount Gambier High School's Shana Lee Locker has been revealed as a finalist for the 2018 South Australian Training Awards, and the Water Range Photographic Exhibition has officially opened. All of that in sport coming up soon.
There are some cool pics in the photograph. Graphic exhibition as well. Make sure you check it out during the course of this month.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Triple M talking fishing. Craig Philp joins me from Spot On Fishing. Craig, good morning.
How are you, Ewan?
Mate, I am good. What is the fishing like in the Limestone Coast this week?
It hasn't been too bad. We've copped a little bit of wind and rain, obviously. The weekend just gone was a shocker, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Welcome to winter in the Limestone Coast.
Oh, mate, incredible. But gee, the fishers are so resilient and so prepared to put up with inclement weather down here. We're pretty used to it, as you said. But the Glenelg River's probably our saving grace when the weather's at its worst. And again, some lovely fish caught over the last week or so. One of the better catches, when was that? Monday night, one of the lads spent a night down in his tinny just near Dry Creek, and actually, he didn't spend the whole night. He was home by midnight, and he landed, him and a mate landed 7 mulloway to 75 centimetres, and he said the brim were just incredible, just fishing unweighted, half pilchards. They could have stayed there all night, but they had plenty. I think they kept 2 mulloway and put all the brim back. Not a big brim fan, but loves the mulloway. Mm. They've gone a little bit slow on the troll. Lures seem not to be working quite as well. The water's cleaned up quite a bit. So a bit over a week ago, we had that tannin stain in the water from all the rain we had, but it's cleaned up now. So most have gone back to bait or trolling live baits, but the mulloway still heaps down there. And as I said, the brim, very, very good also. If you're chasing a feeder brim, pretty hard to beat the estuary just fishing off the sand down there. Maybe a little running sinker if the current's running, but if you can get away with it unweighted, lots of brim down there at the moment. The garfish still going really well. Cape Douglas, Hutt Bay area, Livingstons, just to the west of the start of the breakwater down at Port Mac, the waders are doing very well as well. And we've had a good few days on the salmon, plenty of salmon. Cape Banks seems to be firing up in the corner of Red Rock Bay, the eastern corner. Mm-hmm. The western corner of Red Rock, just where the lighthouse is. Beachport Salmon Hole, still fishing well. Fish up to probably a kilo and a half. Probably a bit under a kilo average, but the odd one pushing kilo and a half, and the bigger fish seem to be all rigged square and all the way through to Canunda. I haven't got any, I haven't got any offshore news. It's just been too rough, but looking at the forecast.
As you would expect.
Sorry, mate?
As you would expect.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad at the moment. The seas have backed off. Saturday still forecasting northerlies. A little bit of a breeze, but Sunday looks good. So you just got to keep a really, real close eye on the weather because it varies. It can vary or change two or three times in one day, as we know down this way.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out on it. But at the moment, the swell's not too bad. The wind's reasonable. So the offshore fishers might get a chance to get out and have a crack at the tuna. This time last year, we were catching all those big fish. We caught them last year up until about September. So at the moment, we're sort of prime time. We just need the conditions to get out to them. So all in all, Ewan, you just got to toughen up, brave up, keep warm, keep safe. Because it's a great time of year to be fishing.
Craig, we're going to catch up next week, mate. You have a great weekend, all right?
Good on you, Ewan.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Ewan Grant
for breakfast.
Now, if you'd like to jump online this morning, one of the questions that I put online was whether you think that we should have more services in the Limestone Coast, whether you think we are more entitled to services and, I suppose, infrastructure, because we are the second largest city here in South Australia. And so many people jumped online to our Limestone Coast Facebook page overnight. I would like to hear from you. I would like to know if you've got any suggestions as well, because some people put some suggestions up on our Facebook page, and I'll talk about those later on this morning.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Later on this morning, just after 7, there's going to be a tradie barbecue that takes place. It is raising money for Triple M's Gimme Five for Kids. Earlier this week, I caught up with Ray DeWitt to talk a little bit about why he supports Triple M's Gimme Five for Kids and why he was going to put on the tradie breakfast this morning. Here is what he had to say.
I think, like most people, you know, if you're giving money, you want to see it actually happen and work in the town you live in. And that's why Gimme Five for Kids is probably one of the major things we support. You know, you can see actually something happen locally and our kids get benefited directly instead of it going, you know, to administration fees or going to other hospitals.
Mm. Ray, you guys are going to put on a bit of a trade brekkie this week. What's going on?
Yeah, well, Thursday morning we're going to light up the barbecue and have some bacon and egg sandwiches, and we're going to get all the tradies or anybody if they want to come along and make a donation, and we'll give you a bacon and egg sandwich.
Sounds lovely.
So we thought we'll, you know, make a bit of money, and we put the word out to a few people, and we put the word out to Hames Paint, and Hames have come on board and supporting us, and they're going to give us a AFL match day football from the Melbourne Football Club, which they sponsor, and that'll be a giveaway door prize for anybody that comes along and makes a donation.
Now, Ray, not only are they going to get the chance at a pretty cool prize, they're going to get the chance at a bacon and egg roll, but they also get to check out the new store. I know you've been there for a while now, but the new store looks pretty cool.
Yeah, no, we're pretty happy with the way it's come up, and it seems to be a good location, and we're very happy with the whole situation there.
I like the idea of a bacon and egg roll this morning. Commercial Street West is where you're going to find the barbecue taking place, and I would love to see you pop on by, say good day to Ray and the team, and a huge thank you to them for helping us out here at Triple M.
You and Graham.
For breakfast.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M, the late great Michael Jackson on 963 Triple M. And talking about Michael Jackson, it infuriates me that so many people want to be associated with somebody of great fame. And to think that it has been so many years since MJ tragically passed away, to think that people are still coming out with statements to create headlines and cause, I suppose, gossip to sweep the globe when it comes to a man of MJ's fame is incredible to me. I'm not sure how I felt about the fact that one of MJ's doctors during the course of the week came out and said that that MJ's dad had chemically castrated him. There wasn't much in the article, and these days we can all become incredibly jaded about what we read in the media and the fact that we can all scream fake news. But to think that someone who once treated Michael Jackson could come out without any evidence and say that is... Well, it's just a bit of a shame. It is also a shame. It's horrifying, in fact, that if the allegation is true, that that MJ's dad could have chemically castrated him to keep his voice, that high pitch that we know from all of MJ's music. On 963 Triple M, it's enough of me musing this morning. We are getting close to news and sport, and in the news today, the news of the Wild Boars, the soccer team from Thailand, is still making headlines. Now, I put a wrong piece to wear a minute ago. I have both feet firmly placed in my mouth. That will teach me for labelling both pieces of audio as the Prime Minister. Malcolm Turnbull had some really nice things to say when he was talking about the cave rescue and the cave rescue that was assisted by some incredibly brave Aussies.
Tell me, what was the most dangerous part of the cave in terms of the passage out?
Yeah.
With a small boy being cradled in your arms and feeling your way through between rocks and posting yourself sideways through little holes and things.
Those kids are in great hands, and just thank you so much. And please thank the Thai Navy SEALs and the British divers and the whole your whole international cooperation. You know, you're an inspiration to Australia and Australians, but this is a... really such an inspiring exercise. There's nothing more frightening, I think, than for people to imagine them being trapped underground in the dark, and to see such extraordinary international cooperation at a time when most people would like to see more international cooperation generally, to see the work you've done and come together so quickly. Thank you. You've really done Australia proud. We are so proud of you, and again, pass on our thanks and respect and admiration to all of the rest of the team that you've worked with so successfully.
Malcolm Turnbull talking all about the cave rescue in Thailand. We are going to find out the latest about the boys who are in hospital at the moment. There is going to be lots of talk about England, who have just so dramatically fallen out of World Cup contention. It looks like Croatia and France are going to go head-to-head. And the national news team will tell us more soon.
Ewan Grant.
For breakfast. Triple M. Triple M. Ewan Grant.
For breakfast. As I said this morning at about 6, when I came into work, I knew it was chilly. Just didn't know how chilly it was when I rode my bike in this morning until I checked out the temperature. Went, oh, wow. I actually said far worse than that, but I can't say that on radio. On 963 Triple M. NAIDOC Week is underway at the moment. We've talked about some great NAIDOC Week stuff going on. There was the book launch on Monday. I was telling you all about what was going on at the main corner. Those events still going on, by the way, at the main corner. If you'd like to be part of virtual reality, it is just fantastic. Make sure you do yourself a favour and go and check it out.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. I'm going to send a shout out to our technician at Triple M this morning. He is going to be absolutely gutted. England have dropped out of the World Cup. It is now going to be Croatia and France in the World Cup final. And well, Frank has been rooting for England for the entire process of the World Cup so far, and he is just going to be shattered this morning. On 963 Triple M, it is 12 past 7, and NAIDOC Week continues. And I wanted to talk about NAIDOC Week because there's been some amazing stuff going on, and today there's something pretty impressive that is going to be taking place as well. To tell us all about what is happening and to talk about NAIDOC Week in general, Andrew is the CEO of Pangoola Manamurna. He joins me on the line. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
Andrew, first of all, NAIDOC Week has been going on since the start of the week, and there's been some amazing results from the events that have been held so far.
Yeah, definitely. Started on Monday here in Mount Gambier with the flag raising ceremony, and then we had a march to Pangoola, had a lunch, and we also had community NAIDOC awards as well. So that was attended by well over 100 people. So really great, really great event. To kickstart NAIDOC Week off.
Tell me about NAIDOC Week and what it means.
So with NAIDOC, historically it's been around for a very, very long time. In its history, it started off around protest in regards to the rights and equality for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across Australia, as well as a number of committees, observance committees, you know, were established, or the original one, and it's grown since then now. And so it's become a very strong and proud week around celebrating where we've been, you know, where Aboriginal people currently are and where we're going into the future. So it's become a really celebration, but it's also brought the wider community in as well in regards to sharing that celebration and acknowledging, you know, the great work that Aboriginal people do and Torres Strait Islander people do in community.
Andrew, the focus this year is on females, and here in the Limestone Coast we have some amazing Aboriginal women.
Most definitely. Like, the theme for this year is Because of Her We Can. And so what that ultimately means is around looking at our Aboriginal women that's you know, in the past and currently that we have, and also into the future, elders, mums, aunties, grandparents, you know, our young women, in regards to not only acknowledging what they've done and what they continue to do, but also what they've done to actually get us to where we are today. You know, and as you said, you know, we are extremely blessed that in the Limestone Coast, a lot of you know, in regards to Bowendig, Mendang, and other language groups throughout the Limestone Coast and Southeast, we're very blessed to have very strong, proud, and active Aboriginal women, you know, and elders in community in regards to advancing, you know, the rights and equality for and, you know, health and wellbeing for Aboriginal people across the community, both over historically over many, many, many years and to this day. And also into the future, because I know a lot of our elderly women, our elders, work with young women in regards to, you know, future leaders as well. So it's extremely important that we acknowledge, respect and celebrate that. So it's a great theme this year.
Andrew, today there is a community day taking place at Pangoola Manamuna?
Yep, definitely. So from 10 to 2 o'clock today at Pangoola, we're having a cultural day. A number of activities will be there, like, you know, arts and crafts, music, food, speaking to elders and hearing, particularly female elders, and hearing their stories, particularly in regards to this year's theme as well. And so, and also some dancing as well. So I would encourage everybody, you know, both within Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community and the wider community, to come down and check out today between 10 and 2. And particularly during the school holidays as well, is definitely targeting school children as well. So bring the young ones out, mums and dads, parents, grandparents, you know, bring the family out. And I'm 100% sure that the kids will love it. Yeah, as what happened last year as well. Mm-hmm. So definitely encourage young ones to come along as well.
Andrew, before I let you go today, you said that NAIDOC Week started out as a protest. It has become a celebration. What would be the big three key issues that are facing Aboriginal and Torres Strait peoples as we look forward to 2019 in NAIDOC Week at the moment?
There's a range of things. Probably the one that's a bit, and it's quite a large area, is around health and wellbeing. It's still, like, you know, a lot of people have been working both within community and the wider community in regards to closing the gap in a number of areas like life expectancy, chronic illness, you know, mental illness. And so, you know, so we've come a long way and we're continually doing a lot of work, particularly in regards to Pangoola, in regards to the services that we provide and will continue to provide. So it's about how we can support and continue to grow Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community in regards to, you know, health and wellbeing. Another thing is around leadership, developing our young kids and becoming strong and proud leaders in community, both within the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community and the wider community as well. So then, that, you know, and that's happening as well. And so we've done a lot of work in regards to that, and we'll continue to do that as well. There's numbers in regards to business, you know, business development. You know, there's a range of areas as well. But as I said, health and wellbeing is very broad in regards to a target area that we, you know, we continually need to work solidly on. The, you know, and, you know, the unfortunate thing as well is, like, you know, in a range of areas as well, is in regards to tackling discrimination and racism. That can still be quite heavily a burden on community as well, and still does influence and impact on community as well. So it's really important that we address that and look at how we can do that, particularly around reconciliation. And as we had reconciliation with a few weeks ago, it's really important to acknowledge that as well. So, so there's a range of areas, but in my view, the top one would be around health and wellbeing, a broad range of areas.
Andrew, great to talk to you this morning. Good luck with the Community Day today. All gets underway from 10. Thanks for joining us this morning on the show to talk all about NAIDOC Week.
Thank you for the opportunity.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
It is the Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M. A story that has dominated over the last couple of days is the fantastic news that the Mount Gambier Airport has got some funding from the federal government to assist in the $9 plus million upgrade of the facility. A man who knows all about it is Richard Sage. He joins me in the studio this morning. G'day, Richard.
Good morning.
Now, mate, talking airport upgrades, why is it important to do it?
I really think that it's an opportunity to start future-proofing the airport going on into what could happen in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So to be able to afford to do that, and as a small regional airport, we need to start planning. This planning has taken place for a long time now. The original overlay of we spent a bit over $3 million and got $500,000 towards lighting has added a lot of safety and allowed jets to come into Mount Gambier that weren't previously accredited to come here.
And it's fascinating watching the airport's Facebook page at some of the aircraft that we have in the Limestone Coast that pop in.
We do. And now, it was only a fortnight after we finished the first overlay that we had some business people from China come in and land here. They got clearances from Darwin and landed in Mount Gambier in one of their own private jets. That was because the overlay allowed it to happen, whereas previously they would have been the tyre pressures and that wouldn't have allowed it to take place.
So most of the upgrades at the airport are all about bringing more people over time to the Limestone Coast, which is going to help economically for the region.
Look, I think it's a real opportunity. Our current carrier has got some issues with the community, but I think they're not insurmountable. We need to look at working with our preferred carrier. He's providing really good service as far as 35-odd flights into Mount Gambier currently. Mm. If you look at all regional aviation, it's very expensive, hard for the cost to be reduced because of the high cost of maintaining and keeping fleets in the air.
Mm. And on the tarmac in Mount Gambier. With the airport upgrade, with the $3.5 million that's just been chipped in, it goes on top of the $500,000 that the council put in as well. It's a $9 million plus project.
Yep.
When's it going to get underway?
Look, it's shovel ready. The lengthening of the runway is a bit over 120 metres, and that's on the northern end of the runway. Mm-hmm. That can take place without affecting any of the flights in and out of Mount Gambier. We can do it through putting another little cut in a fence and bringing material in. And so that's really a positive thing.
Are they the upgrades that we're looking at doing first of all, the upgrades to things like the tarmac?
Well, we can do it, but it's got to be done within the guidelines of all funding applications. It's got to be spent within a certain period. So we'll be busily putting the final touches to some of the plans. The concept plans that were in the paper may not be the ones that eventually get built, but to go and get an application and apply for funding, you've got to have all these dot points in place. The internal workings of the airport have definitely been worked on very hardly with Ian Fitz, our airport manager and an architect, so that's been really put to bed. We'll have a carousel in Mount Gambier. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So we won't need to be waiting in a cold shed to get our bags from the flights that we've just landed with. So that's going to be fantastic. A few of the upgrades that really makes the airport look like a real wow factor. It is the entranceway into the Limestone Coast, and it'd be nice for overseas visitors that come into a beautiful facade.
Absolutely. Seiji, it is great news. I want you to stick around, though. I've got some more questions for you about the upgrade. We'll be back in a sec on Triple M.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Triple M, chatting this morning to Richard Sage. He is the Mayor of the Grant District Council, and we are talking all about the airport upgrade. Seiji, it is sensational news, but a couple of things that I suppose should be asked. When it comes to the upgrade of the airport, is it going to mean increased costs for people flying in and out of the Limestone Coast region?
Well, when you consider the work that we're currently undertaking, it's going to be fully costed. It won't be an increase. Ongoing maintenance down the track, maybe, but what we're hoping to do is increase the number of passengers coming in. And so it's like anything. The more you have, the more money you generate, and that'll help offset the future costs.
And will future costs include an increase in rates in any way, shape or form? Or?
As far as our head tax goes, I can't see that increasing. I'd like to think we could work with Rex and get cheaper flights in and out of Mount Gambier and then reduce that head tax because you've got increased volumes. It's a bit like selling hamburgers at McDonald's. The more hamburgers you sell, the more money you make. If you decrease the price of them, the more you sell.
Absolutely. So when it comes to Rex, that is the elephant in the room, so to speak. There is a delegation, I think you're involved, that are going to go and talk to Rex and try and smooth over some of the issues that have been played out in public over the course of the last couple of months. But is there a chance of Rex increasing their flights? Is there a chance of them bringing more people into the Limestone Coast? Or is that, at the moment, something that we are going to have to work on into the future?
It's definitely a work in progress, but I think some of the problem has been that it has played out in the media, and it's easy to get on the computer and send in a negative comment. And
social media is a wonderful thing sometimes. It's also the worst of things when it comes to things like this.
And that's what we're saying to the general community, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking airports or Mount Gambier per se. We need to put more of a positive spin out there and let people know what a great place it is to live in. You know, the problems we've had at the Mount Gambier Hospital have also been made worse because of the social media aspect of it. If there's a problem, we need to address it. And you don't address it through social media and everybody having to say over it. We need to look at what needs to happen for the airport, what needs to happen to increase passenger numbers. What Rex need to do as a business case and come back to us and say, we'd be happy if we could get this down to the head tax level and we'll work on the cheaper flights.
The unfortunate thing that that Rex has, that each and every one of us, including Triple M, has, is that social media is a part of everybody's life these days, and everybody has an opinion.
Yep.
And we are always going to get that. There is no magic pill, no magic spell that's going to say we're going to get that out of the equation. We're going to have to live with the fact that everybody has the ability to have their say and can go on social media to do that. Rex and obviously you guys need to have some discussions behind closed doors that clear the air. Is there also going to be a discussion with the upgrades of the airport? Because as we say, it's $9 million. Are there going to be talks that say we are going to try and bring another airline into the Limestone Coast?
No, we haven't. That's one thing we need to put fairly and squarely on the table.
Mm.
We haven't gone out and chased anybody because we know that the numbers aren't sustainable. You've got two ways, one to Melbourne, one to Adelaide. And to be sustainable, you need the numbers to be really well up there to make it financially viable for two. If you had two working out of the same airport, it'd have to be viable. And at this stage, with the number of flights that are coming in and out of Mount Gambier,
mm-hmm.
we're being serviced really well by Rex. And I think we need to give them some credence for that work. They have scheduled their flights around South Australia to incorporate Mount Gambier as one of the hubs that get most of the flights.
Mm.
And we need to make sure that continues in the future and grows in the future. We need to go back to them now. And I know Mount Gambier Hospital have had some issues with specialists coming into Mount Gambier. We need to go back as a group now, look at what's affecting them, how it's affecting them, talk to Rex and say, these are the flights we desperately need to be either reinstated or put back on the table, and work with them to get it to happen. by giving them a hard time is not going to make it any easier to get that to happen in the future.
How do we then juggle the idea of wanting more people and an increased economic growth in the tourism sector with having more flights? Because that is an inherent problem.
It is an inherent problem. But then if you look at the other choices, we need to talk to Rex and are they going to be wanting to get into the charter business and get charters into Mount Gambier to experience the southeast. Those are the sort of things we need to put on the table. The other thing is, are there other providers out there that only just want to do charter flights into Mount Gambier? It won't affect Rex's bottom line because these people weren't going to come in the first place.
Hmm.
But it does value add to the whole region. We've got the experiences here. We need to step up to the plate and look at how we can capture and encourage those people in the region. It grows economically as far as the tourism and hospitality. We need to make sure we've got everything in place for that to happen.
Seiji, it really is fantastic news. I cannot wait to see the work begin in the Limestone Coast. Thank you very much for joining us this morning and talking about some of the issues.
Thanks, Ewan. And, you know, it's a regional project and it's great to see everybody getting behind it.
On 963 Triple M, Richard Seiji, and hopefully some good news for local industries as well. Hopefully getting some economic benefit out of doing the work out of the airport as well.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M. I tell you what, we have been talking all about cellar dwellers. Coonawarra, it's the place to be right now. There is so much stuff going on right the way across the month. And I have a lady on the line who's going to tell us about what's going on this weekend. Megan from Holics. G'day, Megan.
There you go, Ewan. Nice to see you again.
You too. Now, Megan, there is so much stuff going on. It's been a massive month.
It's absolutely fantastic. You can go into any of the cellar doors this weekend, something like Penley Estate or perhaps Raddus, and try some of our past, present, future Coonawarra cabernets, something that we're absolutely standing out about.
Mm.
Perhaps you want to go out for dinner on the Saturday night. Try it for Hoggies. They've got a fantastic little lineup for themselves, something that's really going to be looking well. And then maybe on a Friday night, you might like to come and visit us because we have our winter warmer where we've got some fine tunes coming through from Dylan Smith, so it should be a good night all round.
Now, tell me more about what's going on Friday night with you guys.
Well, Friday night we've got a winter warmer dinner, really nice, cosy evening. Dylan Smith, who's an acoustic guitarist, he comes up from Adelaide and plays for us. So it's going to be nice and easy. Kick back, relax, listen to the tunes, let our guys from upstairs at Holic look after you,
and
possibly walk away with a little bit of a full belly.
Oh, sounds lovely to me. Megan, do we need to book?
It is preferable, only because we've got some, just for the catering on that side. We have a fantastic thing. We can do it at $65 per person without wine, or if you're wanting wine, so that's a little bit more, and then we're going to charge you $90 with matching wines for the four courses.
See, there's nothing wrong with that, and it's going to be a great night.
It should be. Are you going to come and see with Ewan?
Oh, look, I hope to be there because it would be fantastic. As you say, Dylan Smith is going to be there as well. It's going to be an entertaining night, and it's just one of the great events that's on all the way through for Cellar Dwellers.
It is, and this is certainly, we may be hitting winter, but this is some of the best times to be in the Coonawarra and seeing what we're doing out and about.
It does indeed. Hey, Megan, thanks for joining us this morning. You have a great night on Friday night.
Same for yourself, Ewan. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Ewan Grant for breakfast.
Tony Passett is on the front page of the Narracourt Herald today talking tourism upgrades. There is talk in Millicent of a man being charged after the incident at the Millicent skate park just after dawn on May the 13th. Also making news in Millicent, businesses. The Outstanding Business Awards aren't that far away and the businesses are hopefully going to shine as part of those awards. There's also some good news in regards to doctors for the Millicent District Hospital. Apparently a four-year contract has been signed, which is fantastic. When it comes to news in the Border Watch today, front page article is all about our MFS commander renewing warning as a wood heater blaze ripped through a man cave. It would be a frightening situation. I remember many, many years ago now when I was very, very young, we had a fire in our chimney. And as a result, had to call the fire brigade and almost lost the house that Mum and Dad were living in at the time. It was a frightening experience and it's something that you don't want anybody to ever go through.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Pity joins me for Arena Sports Store. Pity, good morning.
Good morning, Yui.
Hey, mate, we are doing some footy tipping today. We've got Rob on the line. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. Good morning, Petey.
Morning, Rob. Who do you follow?
Well, unlike you, I reckon you're an Essendon supporter because you've got broad shoulders.
Collingwood.
I'm a Magpie fan.
Oh, hang the phone up, Huey.
Footy tipping's cancelled.
They took me money last week.
They did. It's a conspiracy, mate. That's what it is.
The Magpies and the umpires.
See, we got this all fooled.
Yeah.
Well, mate, getting underway with the footy, it's all back tonight. We've got Adelaide Crows taking on the Cats. It's all going to take place in Adelaide. Who do we reckon's going to win, boys?
I'm going to go with... Look, Adelaide's good, but I think Cats are just on a roll at the moment. I reckon they're just going to get over them, even at their home ground. So I'm going to go Cats.
Yeah, Adelaide, Huey, anything to be different to a Collingwood supporter.
Tomorrow night, we've got St Kilda taking on Carlton. Etihad Stadium is where it'll happen. What do we reckon?
St Kilda.
Yeah, St Kilda for sure.
All right. Hawthorn are going to take on Brisbane on Saturday. What do we reckon?
It's a walk for the Hawks.
How are Brisbane going to go down in Tasmania? They'll freeze.
Yeah, well, you like anybody playing footy today in Mount Gambier, mate. Melbourne are going to take on the Bulldogs. What do we reckon, boys?
I reckon the Demons might get up over the Dogs.
Yeah, Melbourne, Huey.
All righty. Gold Coast Suns are going to take on Essendon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we need a win.
As much as I don't like Essendon, but, yeah, I reckon they'll get over them.
As much as I like Essendon, Essendon.
Richmond and GWS are going to get together. What do we reckon?
That's a hard
Richmond.
One.
Richmond.
Tigers.
Collingwood and West Coast on Sunday.
Who cares?
Yeah. Oh, you already know my answer. I'll take the Pies.
All righty. Yeah.
West Coast can't win in Melbourne.
Okay, not a problem. North Melbourne are going to take on Sydney Swans. What do we reckon, boys?
I think
North. I'm going to go to Swans. It's going to be a close match, though. North and Swans are both playing well.
Boys, you guys are at least going to have a crack at this. This is awesome. Fremantle are going to take on Port Adelaide, rounding out round 17. Who's going to win?
Port.
Oh, Port.
Boys, we will catch up on Monday and find out how it all ends up. Petey, tell us what's going on at Arena.
Oh, I don't know about Arena. I'm in Squashbrook, Huey, and I tell you what, I've got to get out of here. There's a few blokes in the toilet. I've got to get out of here.
They're all listening in as we speak, huh?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we got a full audience this morning.
Well, mate, how about I talk to you?
What have we got? We got what have the girls got? Shoes, sorted footwear, half price, clothing. What have you got? Kids track pants, $49. They've been good, $49. And just the usual exercise gear and that. But you tell them to come in. I need help. I lost 100 last week.
Petey, good luck this week. We will see how it all ends up on Monday. Thanks for chatting as always, mate.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You and Grant. For breakfast. Triple M.